My name is Dr. Maria Quirk, and I'm Assistant Curator for Collections and Research at the NGV. Over the past year, I've worked closely with the gallery's Christina Campbell Priddy Suffrage Research Collection. For the book She Persists, the wonderful English scholar Dr. Zoe Thomas wrote an essay on the suffrage movement and visual culture. The women's suffrage movement in England was not just a momentous occasion in political history. It was also a turning point in the history of popular design, propaganda, and dress. From the mid-19th century until universal female suffrage was granted in 1928, numerous suffrage societies were established to campaign for women's right to vote, using both peaceful and militaristic tactics. Designers and artists played an important role in popularizing and disseminating the suffrage message. They designed and produced jewelry, accessories, ceramics, banners, printed ephemera, and other artistic products, using distinct color schemes, logos, and graphics to raise awareness of the cause and build their political advantage. In doing so, suffrage campaigners created the first modern, branded political campaign of the visual age. The British suffrage campaign was a rare instance where art and politics converged in a deliberate and strategic way. Art and design were not tangential to the campaign, they were central to it. The beginnings of the suffrage movement in the 19th century coincided with the wave of collective agitation with women artists who campaigned for access to life study and entry into established art schools and societies. In the latter part of the 19th century, high-profile professional artists like Louise Jopling, Annie Swinnerton, and Susan Isabella Dacre took an active role in the suffrage campaign, supporting the National Union of Women's Suffrage Societies and the Manchester National Society for Women's Suffrage. Of the 2,000 signatories of the 1889 Declaration in Favour of Women's Suffrage, almost 100 came from women artists. A turning point in the relationship between artists and the suffrage movement was the founding of the Artists' Suffrage League and the Suffrage Atelier, organizations that merged artistic, political, and professional interests. Founded by the arts and crafts stained glass artist Mary Lowndes in 1907, the Artists' Suffrage League aimed to further the cause of women's enfranchisement by bringing in an attractive manner before the public eye the long-continued demand for the vote. That's in their own words. The League was made up of professional artists and worked with the National Union of Women's Suffrage Societies, a non-militant organisation led by Millicent Fawcett. Some of their earliest products were displayed at the National Union's procession of June 1908, during which 10,000 people marched on Parliament to demonstrate their determination for the vote to the newly instated Prime Minister, Herbert Asquith. The League designed and made 80 embroidered banners for the march, which constituted, as one paper said, the most beautiful art exhibition of the year. Creating embroidered banners was much more time-consuming than painted placards or signs, but Mary Lowndes was convinced that their association with religious processions and noble revolutions would spark bystanders' fervour and loyalty. As she explained, a banner is a thing to float in the wind, to flicker in the breeze, to flirt its colours for your pleasure, to half show and half conceal, a device you long to unravel. You not want to read it, you want to worship it. The Women's Social and Political Union was the second major suffrage society. Tightly controlled by Emmeline Pankhurst and her daughters, the WSPU advocated for direct action and civil disobedience. Their members were pejoratively termed suffragettes in 1906, a term the WSPU claimed as their own, and it came to denote their militancy. It was the WSPU's treasurer, Emmeline Pethick Lawrence, who recognised the importance of colour, symbols, and iconography to mainstreaming the suffrage cause. In the lead-up to the major June 1908 Women's Sunday rally, Pethick Lawrence selected the colours white for purity, purple for royalty, freedom and dignity, and green for hope to represent the WSPU. People attending the rally were told to wear a pale or white dress and a sash in white, green and purple, and green and purple accessories. The 300,000 marchers formed an extraordinary scene. The newspaper The Times reported, "Each group marched under a banner of its own, and each woman walking in the procession wore the purple, white and green, either in the favours pinned to the breast or in the trimmings of the hat, in belt ribbons or in sashes. Many of the ladies wore costumes designed in an arrangement of purple, white and green." The genius of the WSPU colours was the universality of their application. Following the triumph of the Women's Sunday March, anything rendered in white, purple and green became a symbol of the suffrage movement. Within a month, businesses like Selfridges and Liberties, as well as florists and button makers, were advertising their branded wares to suffrage supporters. There were purple, white and green underwear and corsets, stockings and garters, suffrage branded tea and boots made for suffragette wear. Fine jewellery made the colours even more desirable. Long before today's era of feminist t-shirts, the WSPU made the suffrage cause fashionable. Suffrage campaigners also marketed games. Named for suffragette leader Emmeline Pankhurst and her political adversary, Prime Minister Herbert Asquith, the Pankhurst game was sold by the WSPU to raise funds for their campaign. Games were a vehicle for the suffrage message to reach a broad audience and inoffensively enter middle-class homes. Pankhurst is similar to Snakes and Ladders. Each player moves their suffragette game figure along a spiral of squares from their home to the Houses of Parliament, navigating obstacles like prejudice and obstruction along the way. The first player to reach the final square of universal suffrage is the winner. The Holloway brooch and the Hunger Strike medal were introduced in 1909 and were modelled on traditional military honours. Many prominent suffragettes, including the Pankhurst sisters, wore their brooches in official, widely distributed photographs. They were conceived of as a reward for recipients' bravery and loyalty, and they were also a public symbol of women's endurance. Where the suffrage movement really affected change was in broadening the ideological and discursive meaning of woman as an identity. By using art and design to create a strongly defined visual aesthetic for both themselves and their campaign, suffragists and suffragettes did not just cause a political spectacle, they made a spectacle of themselves. In doing so, they moved women and the idea of womanly behaviour decisively into the modern era, a time when many different definitions and representations of womanhood could coexist at once. The suffrage brand was daringly conceived, brilliantly stage-managed, and strategically crafted to achieve its dreamed-for outcome, a new, glorious dawn of thundering freedoms.